Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 92 to close at 26,062. S&P 500 down 16 at 2,888. NASDAQ Composite down 114 at 7,895. Russell 2000 small and mid caps off 18 to finish at 1,703. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 3%. Oil down 8 cents at $68.83 per barrel, and gold up $8 at $12.02.10 per ounce. Wall Street had a case of tariff jitters today. The Dow Industrials dropped for the first time in 5 sessions, and the NASDAQ had its worst day since July 27th. Stocks closed lower on word the White House would announce additional tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports after the closing bell. So far, we're still waiting. China is the source of more than half of the U.S. imports of the products on the $200 billion list, so alternative suppliers will be hard to find. If the tariff rate is set at only 10%, the impact will also be largely offset by the renminbi's 6% fall against the dollar since the middle of June. Still, that could be enough to ding GDP by 0.5 to 1 percentage point, and the trade war could escalate. Global Times, which is published by the ruling Communist Party's People's Daily, wrote in an editorial, "It is nothing new for the U.S. to try to escalate tensions so as to exploit more gains at the negotiating table," adding, "We are looking forward to a more beautiful counterattack and will keep increasing the pain felt by the U.S. Well, besides retaliating with tariffs, China could also restrict export of goods, raw materials, and components core to U.S. manufacturing supply chains. Not only have tech stocks had a real nice run in 2018, meaning the prices are a bit rich and it's maybe natural to see a give back, but they're international stocks with a lot of international exposure. A good chunk of their profits come from overseas markets, and that's being impacted with the tariff talk. All 5 of the FANG stocks were lower today. Apple shares briefly trimmed some losses after a report from Bloomberg that the Apple Watch and AirPods could be spared from the latest round of proposed tariffs on China. Oracle shares, meanwhile, fell almost 5% in extended trading after the company reported fiscal first quarter sales that missed analyst estimates. Also, FedEx reported quarterly profit that missed Wall Street estimates. Revenue rose 12%, and that beat estimates, but net profit jumped 40% and missed estimates. FedEx shares down 2% in after-hours trade. Time magazine is being sold by Meredith Corporation to Marc Benioff, a co-founder of Salesforce, and his wife for $190 million in cash. The Benioffs are purchasing Time personally, and the transaction is unrelated to Salesforce.com, where Benioff is chairman and co-CEO and co-founder. Remember how Elon Musk said he had talked to Saudi Arabian investors about taking Tesla private? Well, the Saudis may have found a different electric car company to invest in. Lucid Motors, the electric car startup that aims to compete with Tesla, will receive $1 billion in funding from Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund. The investment will finance Lucid Motors' 2020 commercial launch of its first electric vehicle, the Lucid Air. Meanwhile, Tesla stock dipped about 2% in early trade. The Department of Justice has cleared Cigna's $52 billion acquisition of Express Scripts. Shareholders voted to approve the merger last month. Companies expect the deal to close by the end of this year. The Justice Department's review of another major healthcare merger, CVS's proposed acquisition of Aetna, has taken a bit longer because of potential divestitures, which could conclude this month. The rise in teenagers using e-cigarettes has alarmed health officials who worry the kids will get addicted to nicotine and be more likely to try cigarettes. Last week, the Food and Drug Administration gave the five largest e-cigarette makers 60 days to produce plans to stop underage use of their products. But nicotine isn't the only thing getting vaped. According to a new report in the journal JAMA Pediatrics, nearly 9% of students surveyed in 2016 said they used an e-cigarette device with marijuana. That includes about one in every three e-cigarette users. Bloomberg reports that Coca-Cola is in talks with Canada's Aurora Cannabis to develop drinks infused with CBD, the non-psychoactive chemical found in marijuana. The CBD products likely would be different from those produced by alcohol makers, which would likely give drinkers a buzz from the THC, the main psychoactive chemical in marijuana. The CBD drinks would likely aim to ease inflammation, pain, and cramping. Aurora's stock jumped 17% today. Coke's stock edged up slightly. Coke would join a rush by major alcohol makers and a cigarette company to test the cannabis market and find partners ahead of the October 17th launch of legal recreational marijuana in Canada. Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland said she would return to Washington, D.C. this week for fresh talks on NAFTA. Trump last month announced a side deal with Mexico and has warned Ottawa that he is prepared to leave Canada out if it fails to accept terms more favorable to the U.S. Washington wants the text of a deal by October 1st so the pact can be signed by the outgoing Mexican administration. However, Canadian officials say they will not be rushed given the size of the obstacles. The United Kingdom is due to leave the European Union March 29th, and yet little is clear. So far, no full exit agreement has been reached, and some right-wing rebels in Prime Minister Theresa May's Conservative Party have threatened to vote down a deal if she clinches one. The fate of May's government and her Brexit plan is in doubt because it is unclear whether she can command the 320 votes she needs in the House of Commons, the lower house of the British Parliament, required to approve a deal. So, May has issued an ultimatum. It's her way or no way. May told opponents in her divided party that if they torpedoed her Brexit deal, then the United Kingdom would leave the EU without any agreement, which could proved to be a costly move. Well, it was just a matter of time. Today, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said he expects U.S. budget deficits of about 4% to 5% of the country's economic output for the next 1 to 2 years, adding that there would likely be an effort in 2019 to cut spending on entitlement programs. Kudlow said that government spending was the reason for the wider budget deficits, not the Republican-led tax cuts activated this year. He stated that the biggest factor for revenue was economic growth rate. A quicker pace of growth will bring in more revenue, he says. Now, you might recall that the tax cuts were pitched with the idea that growth would be strong enough to overcome deficits, a scheme that many economists said would not work, and, well, it was just a matter of time. Goldman Sachs reports S&P 500 companies rewarded shareholders with $384 billion worth of buybacks during the first half of 2018. That big bonanza for Wall Street is up 48% from last year and reflects spiking profitability thanks to corporate tax cuts and the strong U.S. economy. Meanwhile, business spending is up 19%, which is good, just not as strong as buybacks. In fact, Goldman Sachs said that buybacks are garnering the largest share of cash spending by S&P 500 firms. It's a milestone, because capital spending had represented the single largest use of cash by corporations in 19 of the past 20 years. Goldman predicts buybacks for the full year will top $1 trillion. Trump today said he wanted to go through a full process for Brett Kavanaugh's nomination, as both his Supreme Court nominee and the woman who has accused him of sexual assault during the 1980s both said they would testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court hit a serious roadblock last night as GOP Senate Judiciary Committee member Jeff Flake said he is uncomfortable voting to advance Kavanaugh's nomination later this week after the nominee's sexual assault accuser went public. And Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, who is not a member of the committee, but whose vote is critical to Kavanaugh's confirmation, similarly said late Sunday that the committee should pause. The nomination may not be officially derailed, but it's no longer on track. Hurricane Florence has been downgraded to a storm. Florence moved across western North Carolina early today, but it continued to dump rain that has nowhere to go except to swell rivers, flood highways and homes, and threaten even more lives as it heads toward Virginia and New England. The death toll related to Florence has climbed to 25, could go higher. The soil is soaked, can't absorb any more rain, so water has to go somewhere. And the National Weather Service says flash floods, landslide warnings, and prolonged significant river flooding throughout the region will continue for the next few days. Florence has dumped up to 40 inches of rain on North Carolina since Thursday, and there may be more on the way, 2 to 8 inches more possible. In North Carolina, more than 900 people have been rescued from rising floodwaters. More than 641,000 homes and businesses were without electricity in North and South Carolina. Florence set a state record for rain from a hurricane, topping the record set by Hurricane Floyd in 1999. Moody's Analytics estimates the total cost at $17 to $22 billion, but warns the estimate could be much higher. Dow Industrials down 92 at 26,062, S&P 500 down 16 at 2888, NASDAQ down 114 at 7895. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.